This is Neil Gentry reminding you that you are listening to Preaching Sunday here on bpnradio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Now, 18 hours of continuous preaching continues with Roy Beard. Another timely message from Roy Beard. Now here's Roy.
Welcome to Covenant Life Ministries with founder and president Roy Beard. We're going to be talking about the things of God and how you can transform your life into following Jesus Christ to become more effective, more efficient, and more authoritative in your Christian walk. I hope you'll join us every week as we look at what God is saying in today's world. Well, I'm Roy Beard, and I thank you for joining us for today's message. We want to pick up where we were last time, talking about the warrior spirit, the spirit of a warrior. And I used as my text, and didn't read it, but suggested that this during this week you read the entire Song of Solomon, and to talk about what's going on, what's happening, and the fact that we are warriors. We have to be warriors. Some people have a difficult time reconciling God's message of peace and love and forgiveness with war. But there are times, as Ecclesiastes said, there's a time to war. There's a time to fight. There's a time to do virtually everything that we encounter and everything that we need to do. We can adopt the mentality that there are two gods and they're not. Some people seem to have the idea that the devil is on a par with God, but he's not. The devil was a created being. Lucifer, the son of the morning, was a created angel that rebelled against God and tried to usurp God's authority and was evicted from heaven by Michael and the warring angels of God, and he deceived and took with him one-third of the angels. Now, that tells you how deceptive he is, because if angels that are standing there looking at God and seeing God in reality, and we're seeing him by faith, they're seeing him face to face. If they could be deceived, then how powerful is the message and ministry and method of the devil? But in the Song of Solomon, I believe we have a picture of the love relationship between our Lord Jesus Christ and the church. And some of the things contained in that particular book are very, very difficult for people to fully comprehend because of the deep symbolic and even mystical meaning. It's very clearly a book of love. Yet in the midst of some of the expressions of the bridegroom to the bride, we find some incredibly unusual terminology. And I want you to consider some of those with me, if you will. In looking at what's going on in chapter 6, verse 4, he says, "You're beautiful, my bride." Well, now that's not unusual. But I believe he's saying to the church, "You're beautiful," but he's not talking about the current situation necessarily, but he's focused on the finished product. God sees us in beauty. He sees the beauty in us as the completed, fulfilled expression of himself, his bride. He says, "You're as comely, you're as lovely, you're as beautiful as Jerusalem." Now, wait a minute. Lord, are you telling me I look as big as a city? No. He's telling you that we're beautiful like the beautiful city of Jerusalem. "Your teeth are like a flock of sheep." What? "Your belly like a mountain of wheat." Now, wait a minute, Lord. Are you seriously telling me that I'm fat as a mountain? See, in our Western minds, those things are not compliments, but they are. He also said, "You're as terrible as an army with banners." Now, that could be taken any number of ways, but imagine a husband whispering to his wife in their tender moment, "Honey, you're beautiful." and you're as terrible as an army with banners. Now, what kind of reaction do you suppose he might receive? Well, I suggest it probably wouldn't be a sweet kiss on the cheek. But the compliment that there is the commitment to the fight and to the determination and to the growth and the development of becoming a warrior. In verse 10, we find out that he says, you're as beautiful as the full moon. You're radiant, you're beautiful, you're glowing. That's how the church is supposed to be. That's how we should appear to the world, radiant, glowing, an expression of him. That's what's happening to the bride of Christ today. We are becoming, we're being transformed into that which Jesus died for. And God is raising us up as an army with banners. And in verse 13, he said, come back that we may gaze on you. He tells us that we're that Shunammite is as it were two companies and two armies. And in chapter 7, verse 1, he said, how beautiful are your feet with shoes, O prince's daughter. Now imagine that. The bride in combat boots. Well, God said it's beautiful. Remember, the Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel. Why? Because it's not the feet that are beautiful, but it's what they're bringing about, what they're carrying, what they're transporting, what they're delivering. In God's mind, there's no problem with us coming into a love relationship with Jesus and being an army that's terrible with banners, an army that is ferocious and mighty. That love that we have for him has to be translated into becoming a militant marching army determined to defeat all of the enemies of our Lord. Our love for him, our love for God, our love for Jesus should produce such a militancy in us that we become an army and a warrior. This is war. I say that, and I say it, and I say it, and I say it, because I believe it, and I know it. This is war. So what are some of the characteristics of this army that God wants and desires and is developing? You have to remember that this war is being fought on many fronts at the same time. At times, the Holy Spirit will call for the troops into one area, and then amass the troops in another area to fight the battle. We fight on multiple fronts. To be effective, this army, it has to be an effort of unity. It has to be unified. We have to be one. When any nation goes to war in the natural, it's mandatory for the success of that war that everybody that is part of the military force and the logistics behind the scene, that everybody functions at peak efficiency and in unison. A squad operates like one man. A battalion operates like one man. A unit operates like one man. Some of them will be on the front line. Some will be delivering supplies behind the line. Some will be making bullets. But everybody is engaged and involved. That involved, that's the way it is in the kingdom. Some stand on the front line. Some are out there engaged in the trenches. Some are going into hand-to-hand combat. Some are delivering supplies behind the line. Some are praying. Some are bombarding heaven. Some are preparing the bullets. But everybody is part of the effort. Now, some of us will be engaged in full-time ministry, bringing in the harvest, and others will be giving full-time to the growth and the development of those babies who come in. That's full-time ministry as well. We don't need a big pile of fruit that sits on the ground and sours and rot. We need fruit that remains, so everybody has a part. We don't just need somebody out there harvesting the crop. We need somebody taking care of the crop that's been harvested. We need to be built into a house of God, into an army of God, into the family of God. That's the characteristics of that army. We're motivated in two directions at the same time. Motivated by compassion. And if we are, if we're motivated by compassion, if we have the compassion of Christ, then we will do something about the situation that we find ourselves in. The motive that makes this army successful is not that we hate so much, but that we love so much. If all we do is hate, we won't kick down the gates of hell. We won't pluck them as brands from the burning. We won't nurture and care and develop those that we bring to the Lord in redemption. There has to be compassion and love in our spirits at the same time as the motivation to hate the enemy and hate the actions of the devil and the schemes and the devices and the plans of the devil. There has to be that compassion and that motivation to rescue the perishing. We have to develop a warrior spirit. And that could be described with words such as courage and determination and commitment and bravery. There's much talk in the Bible about being mighty men and mighty women. How many times do we read the phrase mighty men or a mighty man? And in our day, it would also be a mighty woman too. A warrior is a person that's courageous. A warrior is a person that is determined. A warrior is a person that's dedicated to the cause and committed to the cause. It's the person that has the spirit of a warrior and the compassion of God that God's looking for. Throughout the Bible, throughout the scriptures, we find men who were called of God to do mighty things, and everybody wants to be a headliner. Everybody wants to do the big stuff. Everybody wants to be the person that's out there on the front line and's noticed and gets the recognition. Everybody wants to be the person that God uses to do mighty exploits. But the mighty men and the mighty women who were successful were those that had the spirit of a warrior, and every one of them had somebody behind them that was giving them support and backing them up. But they refused to quit, and they pressed into victory, and we need that kind of spirit today. No, we have to have that kind of spirit today, because this is war. It's easy. It's incredibly easy and tempting to sit in groups, to sit in churches, to sit in conferences, and get excited about what the victory is going to be without ever getting into the fight. But when the opposition becomes fierce, too many times people get discouraged because they don't truly have the spirit of a warrior and the commitment to the cause in covenant. The fierceness of the battle may cost lives. No, it will cost lives. But the fight's worth it. And the ultimate victory justifies the fight. And if we're going to press through and fight to the finish, we have to develop the spirit of a warrior. Now, we're going to win. That's a given. We are going to win. That's an absolute. That's not debatable. But if we're going to be a part of the victory in the here and now, we have to become warriors. It may tax you to the limits. It may strain you to the limits. It may press you to the limit. It cost Jesus his life, but he rose again, and he suffered, and the early church suffered, and we too may suffer. It will not be easy, but we win if we become warriors for the kingdom of God. Now, there are many, many examples in Scripture of what I'm talking about. You remember Gideon and his army? He had so many involved that they were still outnumbered many to one. But God said, you got too many. And he had them sit down at the stream and ran a test for them. And when he got through, he had 300 left to fight against the incredible odds. That not only took faith and courage on the part of Gideon, but every one of those 300 men, nobody
Nobody would be able to walk out of that saying it was Gideon and this mighty army that he had. They would have to come out and say it was God, because God put in them the Spirit, and God kept his word, and God kept his promises. You remember the first generation of Israelis that entered into the promised land? They sent spies into the land, 12, to go in and get confirmation of what God had said about the land. Was it truly a land flowing with milk and honey? Was it what God said it was? When they came back, 10 came back in fear, saying, "Hey, there are giants over there. We can't go. We're like grasshoppers in their eyes." And they argued against the invasion. They argued against possessing the land. They argued against crossing over because of the obstacles. But Joshua and Caleb said, "Hold on, guys. Have we forgotten who we serve? Have you forgotten the provisions of God in the wilderness? Have you forgotten the promises of God? Have you forgotten how he delivered us from Egyptian bondage? Have you forgotten how he's healed us and cared for us, and our shoes didn't wear out and our clothes didn't get old? We don't care about the giants. We don't care about the opposition. We care about what God said. God said, so we can. They'll be like bread to us." I love it. That's faith. That's confidence. That's commitment. They were warriors. How about the Apostle Paul in the New Testament? One of the reasons I believe that Paul is largely the person focused on in the book of Acts is because of his warrior spirit. He's an example of the kind of spirit, the kind of attitude, the kind of mentality, the kind of commitment that every one of us must have if we're to fulfill the purposes of God for our life and our generation, and we must have if we are to be what God wants us to be. In these last days, God's calling his warriors to the battlefront because this is war. His commitment and God's desire, Paul's commitment and the desire of God's expressed in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and 4. He said, "But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distress, in beatings, in imprisonment, in tumult, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, the power of God, the weapons of righteousness, for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report. It doesn't make any difference. We're pressing in." And in 2 Chronicles 11:23, he said, "Is everybody a servant of God? No. But we are committed to God. We're committed to the purposes of God." He became an apostle because in his heart was the spirit of a warrior. Paul's motivation was seen in his vision. God called him to do something, and he sensed that he had a destiny and a purpose. And he was commissioned to take the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Jews and Gentiles, or to the church. There was a fire that burned inside of him that no matter what he faced, he was determined. He knew that he was in war. His determination allowed him to face seemingly impossible situations with a confidence that God had promised, and the gospel message was worth fighting for, and that victory was his. And he took the ministry from one city to another, one at a time, and helped them develop the attitude and determination to become warriors for God. That was in his heart. That was in the heart of Joshua and Caleb. That was in the heart of the Hebrews. That was in the heart of Gideon and his army. Determination and the spirit of a warrior. They took the land, one city at a time. And that's how you and I will win this war. We have to refuse to quit. We have to develop the determination that's needed to come to full maturity in Christ and become warriors in God, because this is war. Never, 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 never give up. In due season, you and I will reap if we don't faint. We have to focus. We have to focus on what God set before us and attach ourselves to the purposes of God for our lives. We have to bloom where we're planted, refuse to give up and refuse to give in, refuse to quit, refuse to be defeated. If you don't quit, God won't either. Determination means expending whatever energy and whatever resources are necessary to complete the task. We have to become driven by the vision that God has placed in our heart and inspired by the faith of Jesus Christ. Success, not failure, nor failure. Success nor failure should make us quit. I heard a story a number of years ago that illustrates what I'm talking about. There was a bulldog that lived behind a fence. And there was a particular man that would walk along on the sidewalk every day by that fence and torment that dog, pester the dog. The dog would run along the fence but couldn't get to him because the fence was intact and the gate was closed, so he couldn't get to his tormentor. He was always looking for a way to get out there to get to him, but there was no way. And that man, in his smugness, confident that the dog would never be able to get to him, he tormented the dog relentlessly. But one day, the gate had been left open, and the tormentor then felt the determination of the dog. What am I saying? Don't quit. Keep trying. One day, the gate just might be open. I'm told that salmon spawn as much as 200 miles upstream. And they'll stop at nothing. They'll often stop their eating and when they begin the journey and may not eat again for months. They conquer incredible obstacles, including waterfalls that they have to climb or swim or jump. And one stream in Oregon revealed that fish had to get up over a 15-foot waterfall just a couple of miles from their spawning ground. Now imagine that, a 15-foot waterfall. After they're tired, after their long journey, they have to conquer in order to reach their destination. And those fish do one of two things. They either reach their destination or they die trying. Those are the only two options. They refuse to quit. That is the spirit of a warrior. So let me ask a question. What would it take for you to give up? How much pressure would it take for you to throw in the towel and walk away? How much money could you be offered that would turn your head from the vision and the dream that God's put in your heart? How much pleasure or fame could you be offered that would make you quit this race and give up the fight? I hope there's nothing that could do that. But there has to be resolved in our spirit that says, I don't care what happens. I don't care what's offered. I don't care what comes. I am going to do God's will in my life, period. That's the determination. Some years ago, I heard, and it was quite a few years ago, that there on the 4th of July, there was a woman stepped into the waters off the coast of Catalina Island, 20 miles or so from the coastline of California. She was determined to be the first woman to swim that distance from the island to the California shoreline. And when she got in the waters, they were incredibly cold. There was a dense fog that morning, and she began her swim. She swam for almost 15 hours and then began to ache and to cramp terribly. And she called for her mother, who was her coach, into the boat that was going along beside her, saying, I can't take it anymore. I can't go any farther. I can't do this. Please take me out of the water. And they kept encouraging her to keep going, and she did for a while, but finally she gave up, and they pulled her into the boat from the cold waters into the safety and the warmth of the boat. And she realized that she was only about a half a mile from her destination. She couldn't see it because of the fog. Sometimes we get in a fog. Sometimes we can't see because of the blindness and the blinders that the devil has put out there. But that same woman went back to Catalina a few months later and with much the same conditions got back in the water, and this time she refused to quit. The difference? Sheer determination. The spirit of a warrior. So, will you make the commitment? That's my question. Will you make the commitment to never give up? Will you allow the Holy Spirit to infuse into your heart and your mind and your spirit and your soul the confidence and trust in God that's required to make that determination to never quit? Will you allow the Holy Spirit to put in you and develop in you the spirit of a warrior? Will you say, I'm all in, Lord. I am all in. Will you close the door to the devil today? Will you say with me, devil, I'm closing the door on you in my life, in my family, in my city, in my nation, in my church, in my world. You have no authority over my life because I belong to God. You have no place in my life. I'm a child of God. And from this moment on, for the rest of my days on earth, at any time you come around, you'll find the door closed and slammed in your face. Be gone, devil. I'm a warrior for God now, and I'm determined to fight to the finish in freedom. And if you'll make that commitment, pray this prayer with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I agree with this message today. And I ask that this truth become sealed in my heart forever. And I declare that as of this day, I'm closing the door to the devil in my life forever. It's permanently closed by the help of the Holy Spirit. And I declare that God's weapons of warfare are my weapons of warfare, and that the kingdom of God will be established on earth and in my life as it is in heaven. Lord, I declare that from this moment forward, I will be a warrior for you on the earth. I won't let the devil defeat me. I won't let him bully me. I won't let him intimidate me. I won't let the physicians of no value drag me down. I won't let him or them invade one inch of your territory, including my own life and the lives of my family. I stand and I stand firm. And Lord, I praise you for your goodness to me. I praise you for the victory that I know is mine. I am more than a conqueror through you, Lord. So I submit myself to you and I enlist in your army and with the spirit of a warrior. And I am now and will be a warrior for Jesus. Amen. And with that, let's take our city. Let's take our city. No matter what city that is, let's take our cities for God. Let's begin to step forward and say, Lord, it doesn't matter what comes. I can't control what comes against me, but I can make a commitment to you. I may not be more powerful than the devil, but you are, and you're in me, and greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Some of you have been struggling. You've been struggling greatly. You've been struggling mightily. You've been struggling with incredible difficulty, and you don't know if you can hold on much longer. But I'm telling you, if you will let the Holy Spirit develop in you the spirit of a warrior, there will be a boldness come on you that you will be able to just stand when you didn't think it was possible to stand. You'll be able to hold on when you didn't think it was possible to hold on. And you'll see those that you've been praying for come to God. I am so thankful that I've had the privilege of leading people that were dear to me to God. I'm thankful that there have been other people that stood firm and helped win some of those that were dear to me to God. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what you're facing today. It doesn't matter what the obstacles are. It doesn't matter what the difficulty that you're encountering. God is more than a match for anything you face. This is war, and God wants those with the spirit of a warrior to invest himself and herself in the battle. Amen. Man.
Well, thank you for being with us on Covenant Life Ministries broadcast. This is Roy Beard. I have two blogs that I write, roybeard.com and royscovenantcorner.wordpress.com. If you'd like to contact me at Covenant Life Ministries, clm.texas@yahoo.com, and I'll be glad to respond to you, be glad to help you in any way I can. God bless you, and we will look forward to seeing you next week. Go with God, and He will go with you.